Creating an Annual Music Ministry Planner is the ministry session we're about to hear from Brother John Guy. Brother John Guy serves as a music administrator, assisting Brother Schmidt in working with ensembles, special groups, scheduling, and sorting of music. He also teaches the New Journeys Adult Bible Class. This session was part of the Spiritual Leadership Conference 2010 hosted by Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church.
If you have your Bibles, if you'd open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, just want to share a verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. First Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40, very familiar verse, but I believe a verse that applies very well to this session and what we'll be talking about today. The Bible says in verse 40, it says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." And I believe that verse really is a description of how all ministry should be done. I believe, of course, the greatest work is the work of the Lord, and that whatever we're putting our hands to do, we should do it with our might. But you'll find that the more organized and the more planned you can be in the music ministry, the better your Sundays will be. The less pressure and stress even on your shoulders as a music director or coordinator. Let all things be done decently and in order. We certainly strive for excellence. While we work many times with volunteers, whether it's a choir or an ensemble or a group, there are certain things you can't always anticipate or you can't always plan for. Sometimes you have to just be ready for emergencies or things just sort of happen. But as much as we can, we want to be planned, we want to be prepared, and we want to be ready. I'm sure we've all experienced maybe something that was put together or organized, but it didn't have as much attention to it or wasn't given as much attention as it could have had. And a lot of times that's frustrating. It's frustrating to those involved. It's frustrating to those who are serving alongside of us and a part of our team. If we're not planned and prepared, it's also noticeable and frustrating to the congregation if things just seem like they're just sort of thrown together and there's not a lot of forethought. Just to kind of give you an illustration, really how planning is what makes the difference. Last night's service has been planned probably for about 8 months now. We've been really planning that service and praying over it and putting it together and working with the choir and working with the ensemble and putting together the script and communicating and sound checks and all the rest of that. About 8 months ago, we really started diving into that. And then more so the past 2 months, getting ready for it. The average Sunday morning is about 2 months in planning. And that's starting way out, just finding a song, beginning to think about what group, choir, ensemble, soloist, quartet, trio, ladies group, men's group. And then as we get closer, about a month and a half or... Usually about a month and a half, it's on the calendar and it's given to a group. And then 5-6 weeks out, it's in the hands of the ensemble. It's in the hands of the choir. They're working on it. They're preparing it. If it has orchestration, it has to get to the orchestra about 4 weeks ahead of time. And there's that planning process. And then as we get down to it, at about 2 or 3 weeks out, starting to choose the songs for the service, the hymns for the service that would go along with whatever the groups are singing, whatever the choir is singing. And then right down to that week, sound checks on Saturday night, and finalizing it, fine-tuning it, making sure it's just what it needs to be. There is a lot of planning involved, and planning makes the difference. Planning will encourage those who are involved. Most people appreciate when something is thought through and something is planned and prepared for. A music ministry planner. This session is going to be very practical. What we do as a leadership team, every November, December, Pastor Chappell has each one of us who oversee different parts of the ministry put together what we call our staff planner. I have mine here from this past December, and we'll put this together, and it really is an overview of the next year. So in November, well, really for the music ministry, it starts about in October, September, October, starting to look at the next year's music schedule. And then by November, December, trying to think of what are some of the big projects we want to accomplish this year. What are some of the big events we need to start planning for? When do we need to start ordering music for leadership conference or for our Christmas program? And really sitting down and trying to get a year at a glance. And every area of the church, each ministry of the church, whether it's outreach or Sunday school or children or bus or music, teens, college, media, print, Christian school, finances, campus development, all of these different areas of the ministry, somebody is owning that, and they're putting together this staff planner. So specifically, I want to talk today about the music ministry staff planner. You can imagine that this is quite an exercise. It takes quite a bit of time to prepare and to put together. But the time that you invest into one of these is going to pay off 100-fold in that year to follow, because you have a jump start on that new year, and you've got some goals in mind. You've got some things you're looking forward to. We'll meet for about a day or half a day sometime toward the end of December, and all of us as a leadership team will present our planners to each other. And that's always a time of excitement, and we rejoice in what God did in the previous year, and then we look forward to, in great anticipation, to the next year and what some of the different areas and different ministries are seeking to accomplish. So let's take a look here. First of all, number one, if you have the outline there, what is a planner? What is a planner? Letter A planner really is a roadmap for the next year. Where are we going as a music ministry? What are some of those goals we want to accomplish? What are some of those big rocks we want to see put in the jar? Have you ever tried taking a trip without directions? If you do, you find that a lot of times you can get lost. The trip takes longer than it needs to. The people that are driving with you often get frustrated because you don't know where you're going, or you're not sure what turn you were supposed to take, or you missed a turn. You waste gas, you waste time. It's the same, really, in the music ministry. If we don't have direction, if we don't have a plan, a lot of times you can get lost. You think you're going in a direction, and maybe you don't end up at your destination. You end up at the wrong place. You don't get that project accomplished that you wanted to get done. The people on your team, again, they're going to get frustrated. You waste time, you waste energy, you waste resources. But when you do have a plan, when you do have something in place that you're striving for and seeking to get accomplished, you can stay focused on the most important things. You can stay on course. You don't want to miss some of the details leading into the big event. You don't want to forget to order the music for that group, or you don't want to forget to order the orchestration if you have an orchestra. You want to make sure that everything is where it needs to be. And so there are some questions that need to be asked, and there are some things that need to be planned out. Letter B, a planner really is details for the next year. Details. It's more than just dreaming big, but it's actually putting some dates on the calendar. What are some of the things we need to accomplish? We have projects in mind. We have things that we want to get done. But a planner is not just the projects and the goals. It's also the tasks. What goes into a big project? Think about a Christmas program. When you do your Christmas program, you can't just sort of wait for December to come and hope that it all comes together. There are some questions you need to ask. There are some things that need to be in place. I just jotted down a couple of questions here that you might ask yourself when you're preparing for a Christmas program. When will you start looking for this year's Christmas program? When will you order it? When will you have a planning meeting to determine your cast and your crew or those who will be involved? When will you create a rehearsal schedule? When will you create a rehearsal CD for your choir? When will you have a kickoff meeting with everyone involved? When will you order any posters or tickets or tracks that you want to use as a tool to invite your community? When will you order any costumes that you need? When will you do lighting cues? When will you have your final practices? And then when will you actually put on the presentation? And if you've ever done a program like this, you only have to do it one time to realize there are 1,000 details that go into it. And if we don't sit down and really try to capture some of those details, we're going to miss them. Things are going to fall through the cracks. And what a planner does is it's going to take these items and it's going to put dates next to them. Instead of just having on the calendar, we're going to have a Christmas program in December. You actually have some things planned out in June when you're starting to look for Christmas music and you're starting to think, what are we going to do? And what kind of a program? Is it going to be a musical? Is it going to be a cantata? Are we going to do narration? Are we going to try to add some drama to this? Are we going to try to build it from what we did last year? You need to have some things that are calendarized that are popping up in front of you and helping you to start to think down the road a little bit. By the way, it'd be a good time right around now to be thinking about Christmas. That's one of the things about those who do music. You get Christmas in the middle of the summer, and you get Easter right before Christmas. But I've already been listening through Christmas music, and it's kind of a strange feeling leading up to the leadership conference, listening to, you know, Joy to the World and things like that. But now's about the time when you should be thinking out to Christmas and really planning for it. So number one, what is a planner? It's just really that roadmap. It's some dates on the calendar that we can put. Number two, what does a planner accomplish? What does a planner accomplish? Letter A, it gives you a big picture. It gives you a big picture of the upcoming year. What are some of those big rocks that you want to accomplish, those things you want to get done? If nothing else, it's going to give you some peace of mind because you've thought through a year and you've thought through what are some of the big events we have, missions conference. What kind of music do we need for missions conference? Are we going to have a children's ensemble? What's the choir going to sing? What about for Mother's Day? What are we going to have for Mother's Day? Are we going to do something a little special, maybe have a narrative reading or something that honors moms? And just trying to think through. You don't have to get all the details, but you want to start thinking through some of the big picture, some of the things you want to get accomplished. Letter B, it's going to save you time. It's going to save you time. Now, it's going to take time to do. The first time I did a planner, I think it was 2 years ago, I think it took about 40 hours of work to put together a planner in December to get it where it needed to be. Now, my planner involves more than just the music ministry. There are a few other ministries that I help to oversee as well, but probably the large portion of that 40 hours went into the music part of it, just getting it ready. Now, once you put one planner together, you can usually go back and a lot of those, especially for music ministry, I mean, Christmas comes every year. So a lot of those things are going to be duplicated each year, but you always want to try to improve. You always want to try to do it a little bit better the next year and try to take notes after you've gone through a program and what went wrong or what could we do better or what are some ideas or some input. And you want to be each year trying to improve and get better. But it's going to save you time in the long run. In David Allen's book, Getting Things Done, he talks about having a system or what he calls an inbox where you can dump all of your ideas. This planner really is one of those inboxes. And you can have, he encourages you not to have a lot of inboxes. You don't have too many inboxes because you'll miss it. But having three or four places, it might be literally an inbox in your email. It might be some sort of a task managing system. I use a program called Things. It's tasks. And you can put projects in there and tasks under the projects. You can put dates next to it and it pops up each day, whatever's due that day. But if you don't have an inbox like a planner or some system in place, all of those details stay up here. And you're constantly trying to juggle all those details and not forget them. If you put it into an inbox, it gives you that peace of mind. You know it's there. It's going to pop up when it needs to. Yes? Things. Yes. That's a Mac-based program. They have several programs out there for PC as well as for Mac that are very similar. And it's just a task management type of a system. Pretty simple to use, but it just involves projects and tasks and due dates. If I'm constantly relying on my mind to remember all these details, I'm going to forget them. If I'm just relying on myself from now till Christmas to remember all the details that need to go into that Christmas program, I'm going to miss them. So this planner is going to save me time. And once I complete this planner, what I'll do, normally the week after Christmas when things settle down, I'll take this planner and literally I'll go through the calendar and I'll take every date that's in here and I'll put it into that system. Because if all I do is put this together and put it on paper and put it on my shelf, it doesn't do me much good. But now I have to put it to use and I have to put it into that system and start using it and getting some of those tasks done and completing some of those projects. If you can get the little details and the little dates off your mind, you can focus on accomplishing the projects, staying on course, trying to think ahead and be creative. And a lot of times in music ministry, you have to be creative. You want to think about how the program's going to work and how we can make it better and how we can make it bigger and those sort of things. But if you're just thinking about, you know, when do I need to order that or when does that need to be done or when do I need to email that person, if all those little details stay in your mind and don't get put down somewhere, you're going to lose some of those, you're going to miss some of the details, and then you're not going to be able to focus on the main things. Letter C is along the same lines. It helps you to accomplish your goals. Nothing's more frustrating than having the New Year's resolutions and trying to start out strong and really try to do something great this year and then get to the end of the year and realize you didn't think twice about it after January 1st. But a planner will help you to accomplish some of those goals. Letter D, it gives you flexibility. The more you organize, the more freedom you have. The largest amount of time, the greatest amount of time that I put into a planner, put into my planner, goes into the music schedule. What I do, and this is what I mentioned sometime around October, see if I can find it right here. Sometime around October, I will sit down and I'll take what we use. It's basically just an Excel spreadsheet. This is January, so this is a month at a glance. And I'll take 12 of these blank forms with no, I have a group here and a song here, and the service is here. So I'll list down all the services, and this will all be blank, the groups and the songs. And I'll sit down between October, November, first part of December, and as I have time and can sit down and do it, I'll actually schedule for the entire year every choir song that we'll sing and every group that we'll sing. I don't schedule every song for the groups. That I'm doing about 2 or 3 months in advance. But the choir songs for the entire year are done by the time January 1st comes. Now, it changes. Music ministry is always changing. You always have to have that flexibility. But when you sit down and really organize and plan through that year, it gives you the flexibility and the opportunity to adjust some if you need to. Yes?
Quick question. How does this play with Pastor Chappell being a pastor and then using the music to enhance what he's preaching on if you already had a year in advance out there?
Right.
Is that what you're talking about the last minute changes?
It gives you flexibility because if I have a month and a half to 2 months, really, I usually, at a time, I'll have a month that's solid, where a month, the music's just about ready. It's in people's hands. They've been practicing it 3 or 4 weeks, maybe a little bit more than that sometimes. Well, if I need to make a last-minute change and it's planned out, it gives you that flexibility. Pastor may say, that song I don't like, or I don't want to do that song, or maybe that would go better next week or something like that. It gives you that ability to give and take a little bit. Usually with pastor's messages are about, I have his titles about 3 months at a time. The titles for his sermons, for his Sunday morning sermons, and then he's usually in a series Sunday night. So a lot of times, depending on the series, we had the a prophecy series back in the fall. His new book was based on a lot of the study for that series. So every Sunday morning, we were trying to have prophetic-type music, songs about the second coming and songs about heaven and the Lord's returning and things like that. And so it helps to have it planned out as much as you can, so it gives you some of that flexibility. But this is the largest portion of the music plan. Having 12 sheets of paper in front of me, one sheet of paper per month, and just planning out the choir songs, planning out the groups. And in another one of my sessions, I talk about this in a little more detail. But what this is going to do for you, it's going to give you that whole year at a glance. It's going to it'll keep you from using the same choir song too much. It'll keep you from using the same group too much. And it just kind of gives you a good big picture right at the beginning of the year. It helps you to start fresh and start strong. I went through about the beginning of May, and I went through the next 4 or 5 months through the summer and kind of readjusted the schedule. Obviously, as you go through months and you're shifting things around, it can be a little outdated by the time you get to about June, and so it kind of needs to be reworked a little bit, but it still gives you a good plan for that full year. So it'll give you the flexibility. Throughout the months, really week to week. So what does a planner accomplish? It gives you the big picture, it saves time, it helps you to accomplish your goals, and it gives you flexibility. Number three, let's talk about the contents of a planner. These are the different sections in the planner. Letter A under this, the first section that we have under the music ministry is the vision. The vision. Why does your music ministry exist? I'll just read you here just real quickly what ours is. It's just about a half a page. It says, the music ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church exists to exalt the name of Jesus Christ, to encourage the heart of our pastor to preach, and to prepare the hearts of the people to hear from the Lord. Music is a great gift from God, and we desire God to continue to use it in our church. I listed three specific areas under the vision where we want to continue striving for excellence, and that's preparation, communication, and presentation. I put a little paragraph next to each one of those, but this just casts a little bit of a vision for our music ministry. Where are we going? Why do we exist? What are some of our main reasons for existing as a music ministry? It'll set you in the right direction. It'll help you keep your priorities in line. Letter B. The second section are your goals. your goals. He who aims at nothing hits it every time. But what do you want to accomplish through your music ministry in the next year? Goals should be concrete, measurable, and calendarized. Concrete means don't be vague. You want to be realistic, but you also want to stretch yourself. A goal would not be to say, I want to have a better music ministry this year. That's kind of vague. I think we all want that. We're all thinking that way. But you want to be concrete. Measurable. Don't say, I want the choir to learn more songs. Say, I want the choir to learn 8 new songs this year. Something that you can measure. Something that you can really put down on paper. And then calendarized would be the time-activating process. And we'll look at this a little bit later. Goals that aren't time-activated are just dreams. Yes? Sure. Well, actually, I have what I listed were 4 different areas. My first section under goals were personal goals that were just for me as a music director. How do I want to grow? What are maybe some goals like I'd like to read a few books on time management or on music, things like that. I have a general section. I'll just list a few here. Fine-tuning the flow of the Sunday morning service. That had to do with this year because we had just made some changes last year. Learning 10 new congregational hymns, hosting a music conference, hosting two music outreach events, Christmas and Easter, mailing out the music schedule by the 15th of each month. We actually email it now. We don't send it by mail. Plan and prepare special music 4 weeks in advance. Plan music for every special day carefully and prayerfully. Host 2 special music groups or guests for the year. And then prepare the programs for the Spiritual Leadership Conference. Those were just some general goals. I have some choir goals as far as adding choir members, how many new songs, how many new openers, studying choir attendance and communicating with choir members. I have some orchestra goals, adding some orchestra members, having our brass ensemble play 4 times, having a string ensemble play 4 times. Some ensemble goals, have each ensemble present 8 new songs in the following year, developing and maintaining a repertoire list. That was kind of a personal goal for me. So I just kind of listed out a few of the big areas, some personal areas, some choir, orchestra, ensembles, groups, and just starting to put some goals down there, just really trying to dream a little bit for the music ministry. It was actually the next thing I was going to talk about, so I covered that. So those are some of the goals. Letter C is review. The next section is a review section. And this is always an exciting part because you look back on the previous year and you try to review what are some of the goals we did accomplish. What are some of the things God did allow us to do? And I know as we gather as a leadership team for that half a day or a day and we go through this review section, it's always neat to see Brother Furston will present how many people were saved in the previous year, how many doors did we knock on, how many tracts were handed out. And each different leadership team member will present their what they were able to accomplish in the previous year. A couple of areas under this review here, you may want to list the songs that you were able to learn, the projects you were able to complete, maybe any special guests or special services that you had, special music presentations like a Christmas program or an Easter program, maybe a missions conference, or if you have maybe a patriotic emphasis or a big event like a pastor's conference or a preacher's conference, something like that. I just listed some of the things that we were able to accomplish in 2009, so this would have been from the end of December to the previous January in 2009. The choir was able to learn 15 new songs. Our ensembles, groups, and soloists learned 113 new songs. We hosted 3 special singing groups. We added 66 choir members. We added 10 orchestra members. We hosted a 2-day music conference, conducted 2 outreach musicals, hosted a music ministry training luncheon for the entire choir, orchestra, ensembles, and soloists, just the entire team of music folks. And then we presented 3 programs for the Spiritual Leadership Conference 2009. So that would be just a section where that section is a few pages long. I actually list every new song that was sung under the groups. And so I just kind of gave you a brief highlight there. But it's always fun to go through and to look through the different ensembles and groups and all the new songs that they were able to sing. Yes? Most of the music that we end up choosing and using is through a choral club. So most choral clubs come with like a preview CD that you can put in and listen to it. Correct, yes. If you don't play the piano and are not able to sit down, because not every song that you come across is going to be with a choral club, you may just pick something up from a conference or somebody passes something your way. Really, the only thing you can do is try to find somebody who can play and have them play it for you and listen through it. So, but usually it's through a choral club for any of the music that we use for our choir and ensembles. Most of it, because we need to have the music and the orchestration for it, so it comes from the choral club. After the review, the next section would be special services, letter D, special services. And this is, I just go through a calendar year and I list out any of the special services that the music ministry is a part of. Could be Revival Sunday, Friend Day, Soul Winning Kickoff, Celebration Sunday, Palm Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, Public Safety Officers Appreciation Day, Mother's Day, God and Country Sunday, Father's Day, Christian Music Sunday, Roundup Sunday, Open House Sunday, Harvest Sunday, Missions Conference, Thanksgiving, and Christmas Musical. Just all the different services throughout a calendar year that that the music ministry is involved in. The next section, letter E, would be projects. We've talked about this a little bit, but what are some of the, not just goals, but actual projects? Maybe your choir has grown and you need to add some choir chairs to your choir loft, or maybe you want to add some monitors to your choir loft just to improve the quality so that the choir can hear the piano, and maybe there are just some things like that. Maybe you want to add some extra microphones, or you want to add a new group, or you want to add so many to your choir, and you've got different projects or different goals that you're working on. List out some of those projects. By the way, always be looking to build your music ministry. Don't ever just settle for maintaining or being satisfied with where it is. Think of what's something new we can do this year. What's a new group we can add? Who are some new members that I can recruit for the choir, get involved in an ensemble, or maybe somebody has been in the choir and maybe you know they sing well. Try to get them into a group or try to get them into an ensemble. So that would be letter E, some of those projects. Letter F, calendar. And this is really what the music planner is all about, this section here. Everything else up to this has just kind of been some preliminary, some review, some goals. It's all just kind of been dreaming. But now you actually want to put some dates down by these projects. You want to take a project like your Christmas program, and you want to list some of the specific tasks, like some of those questions that I asked at the beginning. When are you going to order the music? When are you going to have a big kickoff meeting? When are you going to put together a rehearsal CD or a rehearsal schedule? Some of those questions you need to actually put on a calendar. Sort music for Christmas and put a date by it, June 1st, something like that. So you're going to go through all of your projects. You're going to go through all of what you've dreamed to do for the following year and actually begin to time activate it and put some due dates by it. Real quickly, I'll just go through this. Under this, number one would be your projects. Number two, your annual events, your musicals, any seminar, or maybe you're going to do a luncheon, a training time. And again, next to each one of these dates, you have to have a list of some tasks and some due dates. You can't just throw a music ministry training luncheon. You have to think through that, and you have to plan. You have to order some things in advance, and you have to prepare a lesson. You have to make sure that the food is prepared and the room is ready and all of those things. Start putting some dates next to those tasks. Number three, hosting. If you have any special groups coming in or someone who's going to come and be a part of a service. Number four, reoccurring projects. Just about every week I've got things popping up like put together cue card or submit cue card to pastor for approval, or every month I have email out the music schedule. It just pops up in front of me. I don't have to constantly be thinking, is the 15th of the month here? It's I've got reminders in place that are helping me to remember some of those things. It may be things like piano tunings. You got to keep the piano tuned. Helps keep the choir tuned. But you've got to have some of those things scheduled and thought through. What's important is that you think through as much of your ministry as you possibly can and try to capture everything for that year. Try to capture just as much of it as you can and put it into this planner. And under your calendar, start to put those tasks and start to put those dates, and then start to be thinking through that. Number four under this, and finally, is making it work. Making it work. Again, it's one thing to think big and to dream, but it's another thing to actually get it accomplished. How do you actually take this planner and start to make it work? Letter A is start today. Start today. You know, if you didn't do something like this in November or December, you could do it right now for the next 6 months. You could think through to the end of the year and start thinking, okay, what are some goals? What are some projects? What are some things we'd like to do? And start putting together, even if it's a mini version of a planner, just really starting to time activate some things. But don't wait till the first of the year, because between now and then, it probably just won't happen. That's just kind of our nature and our tendency sometimes. But if I just go home and say, I'm going to start today for the next 6 months, or even 3 months at a time, if you want to try to look out 3 months and conquer those 3 months and really plan those out and think through those. Letter B, you must time activate everything. I hope that you've at least gotten that much from this session, that things need to be time activated. You've got to put dates down. You have to have details that are time activated. This is what's going to make this planner functional. Again, it's not about it just being on the shelf and being a project that's completed in December, but now I've actually got to time activate these things and get them done. Then letter C, you must use your time activation system. If you do all the work and then don't use it, it's been a waste of time. But actually use it. Find a system. Find something that works for you, some kind of a task managing system. And put these dates into that and be organized. And when those things pop up, be tenacious about it. A lot of times what's lacking is just the tenacity. We know it needs to be done, but we've got to just go after it and do it. And so when those tasks do pop up, we've got to go and do it and put our minds into the work and get it done. After putting the hours into the planner and getting it ready, like I said, I'll take that afternoon and I'll just begin to take all of these dates and put these projects into that system and put those dates next to them and just get it all in there and get it off my mind. Because if I keep it all up here, I'm going to lose it. I'm going to drop some things. I'm going to forget some things. Music ministry definitely takes planning. It takes work. It takes organization. The more planned you are and the more organized you are, the more that your volunteers will enjoy serving with you, the more you're going to enjoy being a part of the music team, and the less frustrating it will be for you. You don't want to wait until the Monday before to figure out what you're going to do for Sunday. You want to have some things in place and some things planned out. I've touched on a few of the little details of the music ministry, like the music schedule and some things like that, but I wanted to stick primarily with the planner itself. So I didn't go into a lot of details, but just wanted to take a few minutes. I don't know if there are any questions, maybe something I said, maybe something I didn't say, or maybe something I alluded to. And yes, right here.
I'm inferring that you start with the title of the song instead of the ensemble or the soloist. So you don't just assign somebody to sing. You give them something to sing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The process would be that I sort music, I listen to choral clubs, or I have some books, and I'll play through some songs, or I'll find some music. Once I have the song, then I'm thinking, who is this going to go to? What ensemble? What group? And then I assign it to them and get it to the appropriate person.
How many do you have to work with?
Groups, ensembles, or just the whole team? If you don't include the choir, I guess it would be, it's a good question, probably about 50 people. John, does that seem right? Oh, group-wise, I'm sorry. We have three main Sunday morning groups. We have two other groups that we would use on Sunday nights, ensembles. Those would be 12, 14 people. And then quartets and trios, we would have about five or six more. Some of them are more established than others. We have some high school groups as well, three different high school ensembles, a mixed, a ladies and men's, and then a few duets, and then soloists. So you're looking at about maybe 12 to 15 regular groups that we would use. And then you have a children's group that you'll put together for a special occasion, or usually around missions conference, we'll get some the missionary kids in the college, and we'll put a group together. You know, they don't sing all the time, but they're for seasonal things. So, yes?
Just out of curiosity, the huge choir that sings on Sunday mornings for the worship services, when do they rehearse?
Our practice time is at 4:25 on Sunday afternoon, and then our service is at 5:30. So it's only about a 50-minute practice. So we streamline those practices, try to get a lot done. So, yes.
The choral clubs. I mean, I understand that we all go through this too. I'm sure there's a lot of junk out there. But what choral clubs do you actually have? And I mean, if you want to say, well, this one works really well for us, but do you just draw from everybody? Like, do you get all the choral clubs, like Word and Lewinus?
We have about six or eight, yes, all of those. Word, Brentwood, Prism, Lilliness, we obviously like Bible Truth Music and Majesty Music and the Wilds. You don't have any questions with those, but the other ones you have to be a little more careful with and a little more discerning with.
Are there any that are lesser known? Because I mean, I know about all the main ones, but are there any that are lesser known?
There are. There's a session tomorrow all about that, but no, I'll list them. But somebody asked me about that before the session too. We use Word Music, Brentwood Benson, Praise Gathering, Prism, Lilliness, Integrity. Those would be all the ones that you have to really sort through. You usually only get about 20% out of those kind of and then you have Bible Truth Music. Majesty Music, the Wilds, Sound Forth. So, yes.
How do you keep track of on your repertoire?
That's a session tomorrow as well. we actually have. I have an Excel document. Every tab at the bottom is a group or a soloist or a trio or an ensemble or the choir, and it's just listed there with the date they last sang the song, and then I've got underneath that any new songs that they're learning or that I'd like for them to learn. So it's just a basic Excel document. Yes?
How often do you repeat the song?
It would depend. The choir, we would sing a choir song probably 3 to 4 times a year. An ensemble is going to repeat a song. They might sing a song twice in a year, usually twice in a two-year period. It's not as often with an ensemble. About the same for a group or a soloist. Yes? A lot of that depends on pastor and when he invites them, but it's usually, we've got a group coming in October. I don't know of any groups at this point for the next year, but usually it's about 8 months in advance or so. We've got an idea of who's coming. So, do you have a question? Okay. Yes. We have established practice times for ensembles. That's kind of the backbone of our special music will be our ensembles. Last night an ensemble sang. Tonight, tomorrow night, we'll have two other ensembles. They practice on Wednesday nights after church. A lot of the smaller trios, quartets, they just kind of get together when they can. We try to establish some times. I've got a trio practices Tuesday mornings. Got a quartet that practices Friday afternoons pretty consistently. So a lot of it with the smaller groups just depends on the group and their availability. Yes?
You mentioned that you had children sing on special occasions. Does that mean that there's a children's choir program that you
Yes. Head? I helped oversee it. Mrs. Wall really leads that up. We actually have two different children's choirs. One would be a church children's choir, which is smaller, probably about 70 kids. And then... Sorry. smaller than the other one. And then we have a school choir, which is Brother Daniel Hopkins helps to oversee that with some other staff. And that one's significantly larger, probably twice as big with the children, and then that involves teens and so forth as well. The church children's choir practices at the same time as the church choir. It helps, it's kind of a double, it helps with some child care. But then also gives them the opportunity to practice. So. Yes?
Do you have those major projects at the Christmas Masterworks or the Easter works that you do? Do you have extra rehearsals that you
do? We do. Typically, for a Christmas program, we do it on a Saturday and a Sunday. It would be the presentation Saturday night, Sunday night. The Saturday before, we have about a noon to 5 practice with the choir, with the drama, with the orchestra. That next Tuesday, we have about a 6 to 9 practice with the drama and the orchestra, no choir. Then the Saturday of, again, about a noon to 5 or noon to 4 practice with everybody. And then we present it Saturday night, and then Sunday we get together for about an hour and just fine-tune anything. So, and then obviously practices leading up to that, we may have extended choir practices on regular Sundays. Yes? Do we have people come? You mean from the church or just? Not a lot. Some people have, and that's fine if they do.
if they just want to sit in, if they're interested in joining, and not quite sure if they're wanting to, they have before. So, yes.
Do you have any kind of Sunday morning practice with the choir?
We have a warm up. We have an 8:30 service, so we warm up at 8:15. 8:15 usually starts about 8:20. So we have enough time to sing through our opener and our special, and that's it. If there's a real tricky spot, we might touch on it, but then we have to dismiss to go to the back hallway and sing. So, yes.
Do you have a system in place where you monitor, like, choir attendance, like, for the different members, and if somebody falls out, you come in and see if they're okay?
We do. Our practices, we take attendance at choir practice. Pretty regularly, I'll get maybe the DVD of the service, and I'll actually take attendance in the services. I'll just write down who is there, just to kind of keep track of folks. You know, it's just good shepherding and pastoring of the choir. Most of the folks who are not in the choir, our biggest choir is Sunday night. People have ministries, and they have children, or they have, you know, a bus class, and they've let me know of that. So I also have a list where I know what ministry somebody's involved in at what hour. So if I don't see them in the choir, I can refer to that list. And sometimes they're on vacation, or sometimes, like every choir, you have those who just, you can't seem to get them committed, so you're constantly working at them to keep them in. So, yes?
Two questions. Do you ever give the choir a Sunday evening off as far as practice goes? And two, has Dr. Chapel ever come maybe Sunday afternoon and said, I'd like to have so-and-so sing this tonight?
He can make any changes he wants. And he has. He has. Usually it's... he has the Sunday cue card on Wednesday, usually. So unless it's just maybe somebody comes into town that is a friend of his that he knows can sing, you know, we've done that before, just Sunday afternoon. He'll make changes all the time. Sometimes we'll have, we usually have like a group, an offertory, and a solo on Sunday nights. Sometimes he may know that his message is extra long, or he's just itching to preach it, and so he'll cut something or move something out or move a solo up to the offertory, and we'll save the offertory for next week. And he'll make those kind of changes. As far as the Sunday practice, after a big event, the next 3 or 4 weeks, we'll have a 5:10 practice with our choir, just to sing through Sunday night song, and if we have time, to even sing through the next Sunday morning song. But we do, because we ask extra of them before an event, we try to give it back to them after the event. So, yes? The ensembles, yes. The groups, trio, quartet, a lot of times they'll take a little cheat sheet with words, just words. But the ensembles never hold music. The choir obviously uses music, except for our big presentations like the conference or Christmas and Easter, we don't use music with the choir. But groups and soloists, a lot of times, will take up the words or something. So, yes. It can. A lot of times that's just incorporated into a regular practice. The music ministry training, we do a luncheon every fall. That's part of our kickoff into the fall. Kind of the next month or so, people are going to be vacations and here and there and everywhere. So we do a kickoff in the fall to kind of get people back in. And I'll give them an updated music schedule to the end of the year. Usually we try to present our Christmas musical then and just kind of give them some vision and get them excited about the next 4 months. So that's usually it's also a big thank you time to our choir. We provide a meal for them, try to give them a little gift, and just thank them for being a part of the team. So, yes?
Rehearsal tracks that you make for people, you produce all those in-house, do you actually sing four parts, do you do choir and your ensemble groups?
Most of them, we've done a few in-house. Most of them we would do for our ensembles, and that's only if the music is appropriate enough. Obviously some songs we can't. We're not going to give our choir member or an ensemble member an MP3. Usually with a smaller group, they understand that if they do get something and maybe it's got some drums on it or something like that, we don't condone that. We're not going to do that. But it's just for the purpose of learning the words. And with our choir, we do that even less. If we give them something, it's very conservative. We will do it in-house. Sometimes we did the song last night, Come Holy Spirit. It's kind of an interesting story behind that song, but the arranger arranged that for us for this conference. So they didn't have any kind of a rehearsal CD. So I just got together with me and two other ladies, and I sang the tenor and the bass and an alto and a soprano. We just kind of laid a couple of tracks on my computer and put it out for the choir just so they could have something. So we will do stuff in-house sometimes. So, yes. I don't think so. A little bit for the ensembles. I can't remember which one, but one of them.
That's a question I have. Is what are some of the ways that you do recruitment for especially like maybe in the earlier days, when the program wasn't as large, how did
One of the sessions tomorrow is on building excellent ensembles. So the whole, and I do talk about some of where to draw from. Most of it's from the choir. All of it really is from the choir for the ensembles and really trying to know your choir members and who has abilities and things like that.
So, the orchestra,
The orchestra, a lot of it's just, we'll have music ministry, or we'll have ministry involvement nights. People can sign up and say, I'm interested in orchestra or choir, and then I'll meet with them and get to know them and maybe have them play for me or something like that. And then we have section leaders in the orchestra, so I depend on them a lot of times to determine if this string player or this woodwind player is ready to play for services. Things like that. I communicate with those section leaders and they help me to know. And then I'll communicate with the individual and say, start coming on Sundays and playing with us and so forth. Yes. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. With our ministry involvement night, that's a big push from the pulpit to get people involved in all different types of ministries. That's the one time a year. A lot of it is word of mouth, or I hear about somebody who can play or sing, and I'm going to them, and it's more of a personal. But there's a pretty steady interest in choir and orchestra. We just keep following up with them and trying to get them involved. Why don't we do this? I know we're just about the end of the time for the session, so I'm going to have a closing word of prayer. So that anybody who needs to be dismissed can do that. And I'll stay as long as I need to and just keep answering some questions. So thanks for coming, and why don't we have a word of prayer. Father, we love you and we thank you for this time you've given to us. I pray that you would bless these delegates through the remainder of the day. We think especially of the program tonight, the service and the preaching. We ask that you be glorified through it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We trust this ministry workshop session was a blessing to you. Plan now to join us in the second week of July for Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011 as Lancaster Baptist Church celebrates 25 years of ministry. Let us know if there is any way we can be a blessing to you.